Part 2, Chapter 5, More on Nutrient Solutions. Basics. Your liquid nutrient solution will play a vital role in the overall success of your hydroponic system. Because your system will need to supply all of the essential nutrients, it is recommended that you do not purchase standard commercially prepared garden fertilizers for your system. The solution you should use should be designed as a hydroponic fertilizer or hydroponic plant food. It is also important to note again that you will need to regularly test the pH balance of your nutrient solution to make sure that it is within the recommended levels. The solution's pH levels should remain between 5 and 6. Keeping these levels in check and providing the most nutritious liquid nutrient solution will ensure that your plant will be healthy and thrive. If you want to make your own special growth solution, you can try this homebrew recipe. This recipe has been tested numerous times by organic gardeners, but you may want to try your own optional ingredients. You will see what I mean once you hear this recipe. These are base recipes that you can experiment to get the best growth for your plants by adding or subtracting elements. The hydroponic veggie brew solution per gallon is as follows. Miracle-Gro Patio. This contains trace elements, 1 teaspoon per gallon. Epsom salts, 1/2 teaspoon per gallon. Urine, optional, may create odors indoors, 1/4 cup. And finally, oxygen plus plant food, which is also optional, at 1 teaspoon per gallon. The hydroponic home brew for flowering plants per gallon is as follows. 1 teaspoon high P plant food, such as 15-30-15 or 5-50-17, etc. per gallon. 1/2 teaspoon of Epsom salts per gallon. 1 teaspoon of oxygen plus plant food, optional. And 1 teaspoon of trace elements food, like standard Miracle-Gro. Diagnosing problems with solutions. Since you are in full control of the nutrients that your plant receives, it is very easy to diagnose and treat any problem due to lack of nutrients in your plants. Here are some common symptoms of nutrient deficiencies and the associated nutrients that will help restore your plant to optimum health. If you notice a decrease in growth of your plant, yellow leaves, or that the plant appears light green in color instead of vivid and lush, then you will need to increase nitrogen. If plant growth appears to be stunted, and you notice that the plant has a blue-green color or a reddish tone, then you will need to increase phosphorus. A potassium deficiency can cause the leaves of your plant to have a thin, papery look. The growth will be stunted, and the leaves will have dead and decaying spots. A lack of magnesium will result in the lower leaves yellowing and wilting. If your solution is lacking the correct amount of calcium, you will notice that new leaves will die and decay, as well as newly sprouted stems. Zinc is important to maintain the proper color of your plant. If you notice that the area between the veins of the leaves is light, thin, and papery, or yellowing, then you will need to adjust the amount of zinc in your solution. An iron deficiency will cause the opposite effect as a zinc deficiency. If your solution is lacking the appropriate amount of iron, you will notice that the veins of the leaves will remain vivid green, while the remaining leaf will be yellow. If the leaf edges are curled, have turned blue or dark green, and you discover that all new leaves are wilted, then you will need to adjust the amount of copper in your liquid nutrient solution. A stunted plant with new leaves turning light green while the older leaves remain a vivid green is lacking sulfur. A manganese deficiency will result in a checkered pattern on lower leaves, consisting of both yellow and green. The overall growth of the plant will also be affected. If there is a deficiency of the mineral boron, you will see a scorched appearance at the edges of the newly sprouted leaves. Other considerations when adding micronutrients. Some hydroponic systems may deliver the liquid solution to the plant in a manner too fast for the plants to thoroughly absorb. If this is the case, you may discover that there is a nutrient deficiency in the plant despite proper levels of nutrients in your solution. One way to battle this problem is to apply solution more often. This brings us to our next chapter, and another important element to making sure that hydroponic systems are working in perfect order. Lighting. Chapter 6. Light Overview. Your hydroponic system has basic needs to ensure the longevity, success, and quality of your plants. We have discussed the importance of proper circulation of oxygen, nutrients, and choosing the proper system and recommended growing medium for your plants. Let's address the importance of choosing the best light source. When gardening outside in soil, the sun provides the lighting required for the ultimate growth. However, even outside, there are certain plants that favor direct and bright sunlight, while others tend to thrive better in the shade. Since your hydroponic system may be installed either indoors or outdoors, you will need to address the question of lighting and make sure that you provide the proper lighting needed for your plant to ensure its health and vitality. The best place to begin choosing the type of lighting that you will need for your hydroponic system is by determining what type of light the plant you are growing requires in its natural environment. If the plant requires full sun in a soil garden, then you will need to recreate the same type of environment with your hydroponic system. It is also important to understand that all plants require periods where they are subject to darkness. In fact, recent studies show that the amount of darkness a plant receives is just as important as the amount of sunlight it requires. Types of light. Light used in hydroponic systems are known as grow lights. There are three types of grow lights, and these are incandescent, fluorescent, and high-intensity discharge. Incandescent lights are the least expensive, yet many feel that they are inadequate in meeting the needs of most plants. However, they are readily available at any home and garden store and cost roughly $5 and provide about 150 watts. Fluorescent. Fluorescent lighting is also relatively inexpensive and has been used by gardeners with success for many years. This type of lighting is recommended for starting seedlings. Fluorescent lighting emits less heat than high-intensity discharge lights and is a great way to grow and clone plants. One of the main disadvantages seen with fluorescent lighting is in the fact that fluorescent lighting is only targeted towards one area. Manual rotation of the lamp will be required to ensure that all areas of the garden will receive adequate lighting. However, when growing seedlings, rotating the light isn't necessary. This makes fluorescent lighting the perfect choice for sprouting seeds. It is also recommended to purchase the cool white fluorescent lighting. You can find fluorescent lights at home and garden supply stores for roughly $10. High-intensity discharge. High-intensity discharge lamps are often marketed for outdoor use. However, these lamps are perfect for indoor gardeners and can enhance your hydroponic system. When selecting high-intensity discharge lamps, you have two choices. First is called metal halides, and the other is known as the high-pressure sodium lamp. Metal halide lamps create a natural-looking light, and the rays have a bluish tint. These lamps frequent convention centers, stadiums, and gymnasiums. Many gardeners believe that metal halide lights promote vegetable growth, such as leafy vegetables. High-pressure sodium lamps emit a yellowish-orange ray and are known for promoting flower growth. Depending upon the needs of your plant, you may even choose to use both metal halide and high-pressure sodium lamps, or interchange the bulbs, to promote both vegetation and flowering. Many people will try a number of different lights until they find the one that best meets their plant's needs, as well as fits in their budget. Understanding how different lights are rated. Color temperature. The next important aspect of lighting is color temperature. The first point to understand when discussing color temperature is that the measurement pertains to the color of the light and not the temperature that the light emits. Color temperature is measured in degrees Kelvin, or K, and can be identified by the color of the light. Natural light from the sun contains a spectrum of colors. These colors are evident by putting a beam of light through a prism. When it comes to measuring color temperature, light that is blue-white or very bright are said to have a high color temperature and are cool. Cool light measures at roughly 3,600 K and higher. Natural sunlight is measured at 5,500 K, warm light, measuring at about 3,400 K and lower. These lights are yellow-white or reddish-white. As a general rule, light that has a high color temperature is typically more expensive than other lights. Color Rendering Index. Color Rendering Index is a scale that measures the quality of light. The scale consists of measurements between 0 and 100, with sunlight and incandescent light both measuring 100. Plants show the most growth with a color rendering index of 100. However, it has been shown that lamps with a high CRI, or color rendering index, often have low efficiency. Lumens. Lumens is the measurement used to describe the intensity of the light. All lamps diminish in brightness over a period of time, and it is important to replace them to ensure the health and vitality of your plants. A garden requires between 1,000 and 3,000 lumens per square foot for optimum growth. Choosing a growth lamp should be based upon the amount of lumens the light provides and how much square footage you will need to cover. When choosing grow lights, be sure to replace the bulb when it becomes dim. Never wait for the bulb to completely burn out. As soon as the bulb dims, your plant is not receiving adequate lighting and is in jeopardy. Elements of effective lighting. Be sure to purchase bulbs that work with the lighting system that you have purchased. Many companies also provide replacement bulbs, and you may find it in your best interest to purchase some replacement bulbs when you make your initial lamp purchase. Choosing your lamp is a vital part of maintaining and sustaining your hydroponic system. Many gardeners find the most success by changing their lighting sources during the vegetation and flowering periods. Manipulating the light source. Ensuring that the correct amount of lumens are present for the area you are covering and maintaining strong, visible bulbs that aren't dim will ensure that your plant will grow, thrive, and produce a bountiful crop that you hoped for and are expecting. Chapter 7. Building Your Own Hydroponic Garden. This is a guide to building a relatively simple hydroponic garden. Although it is not a complicated garden, it is well designed. The basic foundations you can learn by implementing this system will leave you well prepared to produce bigger and more complicated rigs. This system can be used for indoor gardening with the addition of appropriate lighting. It is best not to start with seeds for either system we show here. Purchasing small plants at your local nursery is a better option. If you want to start your own seeds, try using this method. Germinate seeds in a medium of rockwool or vermiculite. Fill a pan with vermiculite or rockwool. Fill the pan area with a half-strength hydroponic nutrient solution. A 5-55-17 mixture of store-bought plant food should stimulate root growth of a germinating seed and the new seedlings. Use a very diluted solution in distilled water, about one-third normal strength, and keep temperatures between 72 and 80 degrees for most seed types. Check the seed package or nursery directions. Warm temperatures are very important. Many growers experience low germination rates if the temperatures are out of the correct range for the seed type you are germinating. A heating pad set on low or medium may be necessary. No light is necessary and may slow germination. This is why a heating pad would be a better choice over using a lamp for warmth. Cover the germinating seeds with black paper to keep out light, and place the seedlings in light only once they have sprouted. Water culture directions. These are directions for making a simple yet beautiful water culture style hydroponic garden, cheaply and quickly so you can get to garden hydroponically right away. Please listen to all of the directions through once and make sure that you understand them before beginning, and then refer back to them often while you are building your own hydroponic garden for best results. First, we'll go over the parts list. It includes a rectangular standard fish tank, enough cardboard to cover the outside surface of the fish tank, perhaps the box it came in, contact paper, enough to cover the fish tank sides twice, 1-inch thick styrofoam sheeting, the kind used in construction of houses works great, 2 or 3 plastic pots or colanders type baskets which if placed upside down inside the fish tank would not cover over half of the fish tank's bottom. 3-inch plastic pots should work. Gravel, size too large so as not to fall through the holes in the pots, and enough to fill the pots at least 3/4 of the way full. Fish tank, air pump, and hose with rock air bubbler attached. Some clear silicone. Some hydroponic plant food, water, some plants, like herbs. A clean, cheap white air filter, the kind used in forced air heating systems. And a bag of seashells. The tool list for this project will include duct tape, saws and hole saws, scissors, magic markers, yardstick, spray bottle and glass cleaner, paper towels, Gorilla Glue, or any other glue that glues styrofoam and seashells together. Instructions. Step 1. Measure the fish tank glass side dimensions from plastic lip at top to plastic lip at bottom. This is the area we will be filling with cardboard to block out light. Step 2. Carefully cut out cardboard panels to fit the outsides of the fish tank and tape in place, getting a good fit to block out light. Step 3. Take down the cardboard and cover one side with contact paper. This will be the side facing the glass later and will be seen when looking through the glass from the inside of the fish tank. Step 4. Replace the cardboard panels, tape in place, and admire the view from the decorated fish tank from the inside. If you are not pleased, this is the time to redo it. Step 5. Time to cover the outside of the fish tank and cardboard panels with contact paper on all four sides. The goal here is to completely seal out light. Hold cardboard panels in place and decorate sides to meet room's decor. Note, the bottom of the tank need not be covered unless your plans are to set the garden on a glass table where light could get into it. Step 6. Choose a side that you are at least satisfied with aesthetically and designate that as the back of your garden. We will use that side to hide the air pump. Step 7. Set the air stone in the bottom of the tank and then run the hose across the bottom of the tank to one of the back corners and tape the hose down in place. Then, up the corner and out of the fish tank. Tack the hose at the top of the tank with a bit of tape. The goal is to have the air hose of the pump fit snugly into the corner. Step 8. Silicone the hose in place. Tips for great silicone. Silicone forms a skin quickly and becomes hard to work with. The more you mess with it, the worse it gets. So have all of your tools ready and then do it quickly. One time, the best you can, and leave it completely alone until it's dry. Directions for siliconing. Place tape along the side of the hose about 1/4 inch away from the original caulk line in the fish tank. Step 2. Cut a piece of cardboard in a 3-inch square and then lop off the corner of the cardboard so that when placed in the corner of the fish tank, you can run it up the sides of the tape without hitting the hose. This cardboard trowel you made will we use later to strike off extra caulk. Step 3. Apply silicone generously over the hose, in essence gluing and encasing the hose in silicone. Step 4. Use more silicone than is needed. Excess can easily be removed. When caulking, it is best not to lift the applicator away from the bead of caulk you are applying to avoid air bubbles in the caulk. Step 5. When you are sure that you have enough caulk in the corner, quickly mist the caulk and surrounding area with glass cleaner and immediately start from the bottom of the tank with your cardboard trowel and move up to the top in one motion, striking off excess caulk, leaving the hose encapsulated in a triangular-shaped caulk prism running inside the fish tank corner. Step 6. Pull the tape off along the sides when the silicone is dry. Now back to step 9 of the general instructions. Making the floating platform which the pots will sit in out of the 1-inch styrofoam sheet. For this you will need to cut the styrofoam sheet in a rectangle just slightly smaller than the inside dimensions of the fish tank and also with clearance allotted for the caulk corner which is holding your air hose. Two tips for cutting styrofoam. Tip 1. Cutting straight lines with a table saw works really well. In step 2, cutting holes for pots using a hole saw from the backside and cutting repeatedly at angles make nice conical holes to snugly hold pots. Step 10. Arrange the flower pots on the fitted foam rectangle evenly, no closer than 2 inches from the edge. Step 11. Trace the bottom of the flower pots to use as lines for cutting their placement holes. Step 12. Cut out holes so pots fit snugly in up to their lip. Step 13. Decorate top with light seashells, glued down with Gorilla Glue, and let dry. Step 14. Fill tank half full with clear room temperature water and nutrient solution. Step 15. Place floating styrofoam pot platform in tank and ensure tight fit, but with the ability to float up and down with water levels. Step 16. Gently wash away soil from plants in a bowl of cool water, swishing gently. Step 17. Gently transplant plants into new pots, carefully arranging gravel around the bare roots without damaging them. Step 18. Place pots in holes of the styrofoam platform. Step 19. Gently pour room temperature water through gravel around the plants until the platform is floating near the top. Step 20. Turn on the bubbler and enjoy watching your plants grow. Step 21. Add water or nutrients as necessary. Note, from time to time you may want to check on the condition of the water. You can do this easily by removing one of the pots, or occasionally you may need to remove the entire platform to address problems with algae. A fun thing to do is to buy extra plants and grow them traditionally in pots next to your hydroponic garden for a bit of friendly competition. Building an NFT system. This is a basic beginner setup. Although if you master the smaller hydroponic garden, you will easily be able to modify these plants to be used for a much larger system by just using larger pieces of PVC or more than one pair of arms and a larger bucket to hold the nutrients. This system can also be used to grow plants indoors with appropriate lighting. It is recommended that you purchase plants or grow your own from seeds when your plants are about 4 to 6 inches tall or long. They are ready to be moved into this system. Remove them gently from the vermiculite using clean water to get every last chunk off the roots. Then, wrap the stems in polyester fluff and garden hose. More instructions for this will follow later. This is the building instructions and material list for the NFT system. In order to build this basic hydroponic garden, you will need the following. 1 5 to 10 gallon bucket. 2 pieces of PVC or ABS pipe, 8 to 10 inches long and 5 inches or greater in diameter. 4 caps for the PVC pipe ends. 1 water pump capable of about 50 gallons per hour. 4 foot of hose that will fit the water pump. And a T-joint splitter or Y-splitter that fits the water hose. An air pump, air stone, and some air line, the kind generally used in a fish tank. A can of white epoxy-based spray paint. And a can of black epoxy-based spray paint. Instructions. Everything must be made light tight. Paint all hoses, the bucket, the PVC pipes, and the lid of the bucket with a layer of black paint. Let it dry overnight and then cover it again with a layer of white paint to make it reflective and reduce the temperature of the nutrient solution. Epoxy the caps on the ends of the PVC pipe. Take each PVC pipe and drill a 1-inch hole in the side about an inch from the end of the cap. Roll your assembly so that the 1-inch hole is facing up. We'll call this the top. Now, in the cap, located nearest the 1-inch hole, we will drill an inlet hole. The inlet hole should be as low as possible and as close to the wall of the PVC pipe as possible. And the outlet hole we will drill in the other cap at the opposite end of our assembly. This hole will be as high as possible. The assembly that you have just made we will call the arms of your NFT system. We will now need to cut holes in the sides of our 5 to 10 gallon bucket to accept these arms. These holes should be 5 inches in diameter and located about an inch or two below the rim of the bucket, on opposite sides to balance out the bucket. In the next step, we'll insert the arm assemblies into the bucket. We need to have the 1-inch hole facing up and also the outlet holes facing up. The arms will be inserted into the sides of the bucket about 2 inches and siliconed in place. This whole assembly, a bucket with arms, now resembles a chubby white cactus. In the next step, we need to place an air stone in the bottom of the bucket and find a place for the air pump. We also need to drill a hole in the lid of the bucket for the air hose to run through. In the next step, we'll need to place a water pump in the bottom of the bucket, assuming that it is a submersible one, and attach a hose to it, long enough to reach to the top of the bucket. We need to cut another hole in the lid of the bucket for this hose to go through. In the next step, where the hose reaches outside of the bucket through the lid, we need to attach a T or a Y attachment. We will now need to clamp enough hose to the T to reach the inlet holes on the outside ends of our assembly arms. The hoses must be epoxied in place at the end of the assembly arms and allowed to dry overnight. Our next step would be to put some water in the bucket and turn on the pump. What should happen is the PVC pieces will fill with water, and then when they are full, they should begin to continuously drain out into the outlet holes and back into the bucket. If you are getting leaks anywhere, fix them immediately. If water is coming out of the 1-inch hole on the top of the pipe, then either your pump is too strong or the outlet hole is too small. Fix one or the other. In the next step, we will have to empty the system. Hint: remove the hose from the pump to drain the arms and replace the water with some sort of hydroponic nutrient solution. Now it's time to place plants into our system. The best way that I have found to do this is to take an old garden hose and cut it into 1-inch sections, then split the sections down the side. Then wrap the stem of the plant just above the roots with polyester fluff, and then with our split garden hose. Now we delicately need to insert the roots up to the 1-inch hose into the ends of our assembly arms. Finally, it's time to turn on the air and water pumps and let your garden grow. Chapter 8. Troubleshooting Your Garden. It is sometimes difficult to give specific growing tips and instructions for hydroponics. It depends greatly upon your water quality, type of system you're using, nutrient ingredients, and the environmental factors that surround your hydroponic garden. We have compiled a list of troubleshooting tips, which we hope will guide you to deal with some of the common problems which you may encounter. Keep in mind that these are just tips, and they may or may not work for you. Since there are many variable factors to keep in mind with hydroponics, many times a grower will have to experiment until he or she finds a solution that works for their garden. Blossom drop. Sometimes a plant will drop blossoms simply because it does not have an adequate supply of energy going to all of its areas. If your plant is going to have a problem with blossom drop, it usually will arise in the third set of blossoms. However, in extreme conditions, it can occur in the first set of blossoms. Sometimes blossom drop can be corrected by adding phosphorus. You should also monitor the temperature levels between day and night conditions. If these temperatures are not satisfactory, your plant may suffer from blossom drop. Blossom set. Indoor growing can sometimes create problems with vegetable blossoms. Temperature, light, humidity, and nutrients all play a major part in vegetable blossoms. In regard to temperature, keep in mind that most vegetables like it cooler rather than warmer. Make sure your vegetables have proper light. You should also take advantage of any natural light sources, such as windows. Humidity should also be monitored. Plants that dry out prior to pollination will have problems. Blossom end rot on tomatoes. Blossom end rot, or black spots on tomatoes, is a very lengthy topic. The basic reason that your tomatoes may suffer from spots on the blossom side is usually due to transpiration stress on the vines or a calcium deficiency. Sometimes these two problems arise at the same time. One way you can identify which problem your tomato plants are suffering from is to know whether these black spots are forming in the small tomatoes. If your small fruit is affected, it is usually a calcium deficiency. If the black spots are only showing on your larger fruit, it is probably due to lack of moisture. Keep in mind that hydroponic plants will grow more quickly than plants that are in soil. This means the root systems are smaller. As plants grow, they use a substance called calcium pectate. Calcium pectate acts like cement in plant cells. If the plant is not receiving enough calcium, your tomatoes will start to produce black spots because their cells are dry. The shortage of calcium and/or water stresses a plant with a small root system. It tries to take in more water, but is unable to do so. Adding more calcium will probably not help a tomato plant at this stage. The damage will already have been done. You might want to try adding a small amount of dolomitic lime, however. You must know that there is no cure for blossom end rot. The key is trying to prevent it from ever happening in the first place. If you are experiencing extremely hot weather, pour fresh water over your growing medium to ensure that the plant's roots are saturated. You should also increase air circulation around your plants. If you do suspect that your tomato plants may have a calcium deficiency, use a foliar spray. Bolting of lettuce. To put it simply, lettuce is a cool weather plant. Lettuce that gets too warm will bolt. You should give your lettuce all the light you can in the early growing stages and keep it cool until it is time. Bolting of radishes. Like lettuce, your radishes will need a lot of light in their early growing stage. When growing radishes indoors, you should plant them in their own growing planter. You should use only water during the first 3 weeks. Once the seedlings have developed, you can use vermiculite. Add a 1/2 inch layer of aggregate on top of the vermiculite to cut down on algae building up inside the growing planter. Damping off. Damping off is actually called root rot. Root rot is a fungus disease. It attacks seeds and causes them to mildew and fail to grow. In hydroponic gardening, dampening off is usually the result of using your hydroponic watering system too much for a particular type of seed. If you feel this is not the case, you may want to make sure that your planter is not located in an area where it is too dark, cool, and damp. To fight off this condition, you can apply an all-purpose fungicide. Droopy leaves. If the leaves of your plant are droopy, make sure they are getting enough water. If you want to use an automatic system, make sure it is working properly. If you are certain that your plants are getting enough water, your nutrient concentration may be too high for your plants. To correct this problem, flush the plants and use only plain water for 7 days. Then, start your nutrients again. Misshapen or deformed tomatoes. If you have tomatoes that have rough skin or are misshapen, it is usually a result of temperature factors. Unsatisfactory day and night temperature variances can make your tomatoes tough and appear like peeled oranges. Having temperatures too low during both the day and night can also cause this condition. Insects. You will probably have to deal with aphids, white fly, or red spider at some point during your gardening experience. To prevent these insects from taking up residence on your plants, always remove dead leaves and do not let them simply remain in the planting container. Keep your containers clean. You can use insecticides on your plants. They are safe to use and will usually break down into harmless components within a few days. You should try to avoid spraying insecticides on edible parts of the plant. You should harvest fruit and vegetables no earlier than a week after your plant has been treated with an insecticide. Be sure to wash your crops well before eating. If you are concerned about using chemicals, there are many organic insecticides that you can use. These are usually in powder form and are easy to apply. When using insecticides, you should alternate them with each use. This is to prevent insects from building up immunities against the insecticide. Also, try to keep your household plants away from your crops. If you have a houseplant that is infected with red spider, it can easily transfer over to your cucumbers and celery. Patchy growth. If your plants have better growth in one area of a container than in another, it is a sign that the nutrient solution you are using is not being evenly distributed. Salt and mineral buildup. If you see white crystals forming on your growing medium, thoroughly flush the plants and the medium. Spindly growth. If your plants seem to be growing spindly, this is a sign that they are not receiving sufficient light. Tip burn. If the tips of your plants are starting to turn brown, this is a sign that your plants are probably being overfed. Flush the medium and begin again. Going a step further, if you are now ready to use hydroponics at home and are thinking about maybe even starting your own small business, you may want to do some more investigating on your own. Included in this ebook are another 12 some odd pages of appendices in which you can gather an incredible amount of information. Also included in the text version of this ebook are 10 printable, aesthetically pleasing, and informationally packed labels you can use in your own hydroponic garden. Which brings us to the conclusion of this ebook. By now, you have learned many things about hydroponic systems, using mineral nutrient solutions instead of dirt or soil. Almost any plant that grows on land will grow with hydroponics. Some may do better than others. Now that you are armed with the what is and the why, and some very basic instructions on how to start out at home, we hope you will put this newfound knowledge into action. You may want to use hydroponics as a hobby or as a learning activity with children, or you may decide to take on the world and help your community by filling the local food pantry. However you use it, we wish you success and thank you for listening and enjoy. End of part two. Disclaimer and/or legal notices. The information presented in this ebook represent the views of the publisher as of the date of publication. The publisher reserves the right to alter and update their opinions based on new conditions. This ebook is for informational purposes only. The author and the publisher do not accept any responsibilities for any liabilities resulting from the use of this information. While every attempt was made to verify the information provided here, the author and the publisher cannot assume any responsibility for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions. Any similarities with people or facts are unintentional. No part of this ebook may be reproduced or transmitted in any form, electronic or mechanical, including photocopying, recording, or by any information storage or retrieval system, without the expressed, written, dated, and signed permission from the publisher.